turn in your Bibles is Hebrews chapter 5, verses 11 to 14. We'll go on to chapter 6, the beginning of it a bit, to incorporate for context. I entitled my message, Admonishing Spiritual Laziness. How many of you would say that you get lazy spiritually? I'm putting my hand up. I don't know about you. I think that as believers, that is one of the things that we must fight against. We can get into regular patterns. We can get into a mode in which we, you know, kind of slack off in doing the work for God. And that's what this passage is really trying to deal with in our lives. And it's very important that you and I recognize and stay vigilant in being spiritually motivated to work hard. Let's go on to the passage. The last 10 or 15 years or so, I've been much more apt to look at the passage and let it just jump out and start screaming the message. So it will, I think, do the same for you when we come to these particular elements. Let's begin Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11. I'm reading from the NIV version. We have much to say about this, but it is hard to explain because you are slow to learn. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's Word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, still being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature who, by constant use, have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. The author of Hebrews, which has been contested, my belief is that it is still Paul. But whoever the author is that is coming to us and bringing us this very sound and practical advice begins by saying that all these things that he's been talking about thus far in chapters 1 to this point in chapter 5, he's saying all of this, but he's having a hard time explaining it to these believers because they are, first of all, slow to learn. The Greek for that word means you are sluggish or you've been dulled down. How many of you have ever had to sharpen your knives because they get dull? Anyone ever do that? I think nowadays people just throw them out and get new knives. But in the old days, we used to sharpen knives on a regular basis. I had a friend who, that's what he did. That was his job. He would go around and sharpen knives for restaurants and things like that. I think that still exists. But they get dulled down, right? In our lives, we need to understand that over time, we can become dulled down. In fact, the other understanding is of being dulled down because of sickness creeping in. Now, sickness can creep into our spiritual lives, can't it? Absolutely. We may be dulled down or become sluggish or become because of a sickness that we have. Because maybe I know a lot of people that get upset at God at some point, you know? They've prayed about something. Perhaps the most frequent thing is they prayed about something for years and years and years. It doesn't happen. And so it's like they've become dulled down. They start pulling away from God. They start pulling out of ministry. They literally become dulled down and become sick in their spiritual walk. That's what it's talking about here. You're slow. Whatever it is in your life, it's dulled you down. You become slow to learn as a result of it. Well, life will beat you down. Some of you young people, it's exciting. You know, see a couple walk in here with a brand new baby. You know, full of vigor. I've had four and, well, my wife had the four. I had the privilege of being a part of raising four, and they're all grown up now. And I am telling you, it's great when you first start, and then, you know, you get dulled down, right? You're in the days without sleep, and now the kids are adults, and you know it's a whole different thing. They think they're all right, and you know nothing. And you go through a lot of different phases with kids. If you don't know it yet, it's coming. So, but I don't want to put water on your excitement right now. But it's great. Kids are a wonderful blessing from the Lord. But you've got to be careful in the scope of even just raising kids that you don't get dulled down. And a lot of people do. Spiritually speaking, we've got to be careful of the same thing. We go through our spiritual battles, and it's very easy that we get dulled down and become slow to learn as a result. And one of the things that will indicate that you're becoming slow to learn is that you just spend less and less time with the Lord and in His Word. How much time did you spend this summer with the Lord day by day? Some people, when they get vacation time, they take a vacation from reading their Bible and doing church stuff, right? Some people think that's what their vacation should consist of. Maybe some of your responsibilities, it's all right, but your time with the Lord, it should be increasing. We encourage our people in the summer to refresh themselves by getting out in God's creation and being in the Word and being with the Lord. I hope that you took the summer to do that so that you don't become slow to learn. You don't get dulled down. You need to refresh. We stop almost all of our ministries in the summer, at least for the month of August, so that people will be refreshed spiritually. And I hope you do that. So if you're going to counter spiritual laziness, I think the first step you must take is be careful that you don't get dulled down. You don't become slow to learn and get caught up in it all. Let's keep going. We're going to run out of time if I spend too much on any one thing. Verse 12, in fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's Word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. In admonishing spiritual laziness, we see here that the author is exhorting us to be careful to go back to the elementary truths and instill them. There are a lot of people when they first become Christians that are very excited for the Lord. I don't know if, well, I'm sure some of you that has been lately, but you will recall back when you first learned you wanted to absorb as much as you could about God. You were hungry for it. But some people, when they're hungry for it, they don't instill the deep truths, the things that give you a foundation spiritually. And you and I need to realize that if we haven't put those in, we need to go back to them and make sure that we put them in properly. What are those things? What are those elementary spiritual truths? Well, it's great. The author here gives it to us in chapter 6, the verses 1 to 3. They're right there. And let's look at that right now. Chapter 6 of Hebrews, verse 1 to 3. Therefore, let us leave the elementary teachings about Christ and go on to maturity. And here we go. We get the list of the elementary teachings. Not laying again a foundation of repentance from acts that lead to death. The first thing, the most elementary thing in coming to Christ in elementary teachings when you come to the kingdom of God is repentance. You have to realize that you are a sinner. You have to realize that your sinfulness can't be taken care of by anything you do, but only Jesus Christ, who is a perfect sacrifice, died on the cross for your sin and rose again. And if you believe in Him and confess your sin, He is faithful, He is just, He will forgive you of your sin and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. You cannot say that to yourself and to other people too many times. That is the elementary truth that you must come to in order to gain spiritual position in God's sight. That's where it starts. Some Christians think that they have that instilled well. I call it learning to eat humble pie. And as a pastor over the years, I've learned to do it more and more and bigger chunks. Do you know why? Because I must recognize that is an elementary truth that I must always come back to and be willing to engage in. We never arrive spiritually. In fact, the longer we go on spiritually, the more we realize how far we are away from ever arriving. It should humble us. We should have a repentant life. I don't know how many times I've said to my wife, I'm sorry. I'm sure it's on a daily basis, if not multiple times in a day. Elementary truth. Repentance. Changing of our mind. Repentance is not just confessing our sin, but it is a changing of our mind to turn away from sin. So the confession, sure, telling people or telling your loved ones or people that you have wronged, that you have sinned, or ultimately the Lord, that's a great step. But ultimately, you must have the change of attitude and change of mind about that sin. Some of us will confess and say that we're confessing our sin and then just engage in it later on again. The problem is if our behavior isn't changing, then ultimately we aren't really repenting. So, maybe the elementary truths, the things that are going to dawn on all of us about these elementary truths is that we are always in the state of maintaining these elementary truths. I'm not going to harp on anyone individually too much. Here we go. The next one. Faith in God. Elementary truth, having faith in God. The counterpart of repentance, as repentance is turning away from the darkness of sin, faith is turning toward the light of God. Right? When you turn away from something, you got to turn toward something else. How many of us do that in a simplistic, continuous way? You're turning away from this, well, then you've got to put something else in instead. A lot of times we tell people when they first become believers that they've got to turn away from the bad things that they have done, which is fine if they are not glorifying to God and hurtful and or directly sinful or immoral, then turn away from them. But we need to come to people and say, well, you've got to turn away from that and toward this. What is this? Towards, if you're going to turn away from your friends that are ungodly, guess what the counterpart is? Turn toward those people who love God, right? One of the things I do, we have four boys. They're all almost all adults now. Three out of four are adults. And what we really, really encourage them to do is to make their best friends those that love Jesus Christ. Do you know why? Because it's going to help you in that process to turn away from the evil and towards what God wants. It's not a sure thing, but it's going to help. It's a part of that process. Everything you do, are you choosing to turn away from the evil and towards what is good and godly? You've got to put that in place. You've got to make a specified, conscientious plan to move toward what God wants you to do. How are you doing in that area? Are you lining up your life that way? Faith in God. The third is instruction about baptisms. Now, we believe that most likely this refers to different baptisms to which the readers of the Hebrews were familiar, Hebrew Christians. They had a lot of different Jewish baptisms, one of which was baptism of the proselytes. Another was John's baptism, you may remember it, a baptism of repentance. Later on, Jesus Christ kind of filled it, and it was a baptism of repentance towards, leading towards a life with Christ in it, towards what Jesus in his sacrifice was. And what they're trying to get at here, I am convinced, is that you've got to be careful that it's that you as a mature believer begin with doing the step. We are called, each one of us, once we receive Jesus as our Savior and confess our sin, that the next step is what? to be baptized, to publicly profess our faith in Jesus Christ. That's a step we take as one of the elementary truths that we partake of. But we can't stay there in that elementary truth. We can't just sit there and say, okay, I've been baptized. That's great. See you guys. I know I'm going to heaven. I took the extra step and now I'm good to go. I'll come to church once in a while or maybe at Christmas or whatever. No. The next step is that we've got to live a life that pleases the Lord and adjust our lives all the way along accordingly. So we move on from the back. You can't just get stuck in doing that. I know some Christians that come to me and say, that's it. Yeah. Well, I became a Christian. I received Jesus and I was baptized in the church. And I say, well, why aren't you going to church? That's it. I think that's enough. That's all I need to do. They're stuck. They got stuck in an elementary thing. They got stuck. I don't know what stopped them, what stunted their growth right then and there. But nothing's happening. So you got to move on. You can't just get stuck in doing a certain thing and then that's it. Let's go on to the next one. Laying on of hands. Oftentimes this would follow baptism for some of the believers. It was practiced in connection with ordination and commission. So you can, what it's trying to emphasize here is that you can get stuck on your church even, you know, sending you out as a missionary or putting you in a particular position and commissioning you for the work of God. And you can get stuck there too. Once you get that position to just sit there and not grow anymore. That's another elementary way of thinking. Let's go on to the next. The resurrection of the dead. I'm going to put the next one together. And eternal judgment. We're not going to spend too much time in this, but I find that people have to have an understanding of what's going to happen after this life, right? What is going to happen? What goes beyond in eternity? What the events of the world lead up to? The problem is, and I have had people that are just stuck there. All they want to do is talk about that. That's all they do. They focus on it all the time. What's going to happen in the end? How it's being carried out? And I'm telling you, there's some people that try and ram eschatology down your throat. Their version of it. Well, I hate to tell you this, but in the church, in the last 2,000 years, there's been two lines of thought in eschatology. Basic ones. And you want to know something? The church is still almost 50% on each side of it. And we've got to be careful because to say it has to be this way, we need to preach it this way. I had a guy in our church who was there for 12 years trying to convince me from the scriptures and do special sideline Bible studies just with me and just trying to get me to preach it his way. And I said to him at the end of it, he's no longer with our church. I said to him, I cannot and will not come around to this way of thinking. I don't believe it. And I'm sorry, but we have to work together or else separate ways because you can't just ram your way down my throat. I didn't ram mine down his, but he was convinced it had to be preached this way and everything had to be preached from that vantage point. And I said, it's not going to happen, not under my watch. And a whole family and several others left and it's really affected our church. However, it's necessary. You've got to do what you've got to do in order to teach the way God convinces you and encourages you to teach. So those are the elementary things. You can get stuck on them. You can use them properly and go on from them. But you've got to get those in place. How are you doing in those particular areas? Maybe you can't go on to solid food and mature more because you haven't even instilled those elementary truths in your life. Well, then you've got to go back and make sure you instill those things. You may need to go into maybe eat some humble pie and go into some classes that early Christians go into. Maybe you've missed a chunk of understanding in certain areas. Let's go on. Verse 13. Anyone who lives on milk, still being an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. So we have these elementary truths, and then we've got to move on to the deeper stuff that shows maturity. And you know what it is? It's moving on to teaching about righteousness. There are a lot of different places in the Bible that talk about it, but I'm going to go to just one, and I'm sure you've gone to it many times, Galatians chapter 5. And it's the fruit of the Spirit, and this section is kind of a little concise version of the teachings about righteousness, the things we should strive towards. And you will know this list, but let's go over it. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 to the end. The fruit of the Spirit is love. The deeper things are not holding on to those elementary truths. They are implementing love. Number one, joy. It bothers me when I see a Christian who has a frown on their face, who doesn't exude joy. You and I should be the ones. You should be the one that people see at work as a Christian if you're the only one there that lights up the workplace and people wonder why you're joyful. Joy needs to come. Peace. Now, this is an interesting one because a lot of times in our church, there are murmurings of problems between people, right? But we are exhorted to have peace between us and to exhibit in our lives to the world individually. Patience. Patience is really hard for me. 24 and a half years ago, the Lord called me to start a church from nothing, and I have learned over time that you need to be extremely patient. You can go to seminars, and I'll tell you, if you do A, B, and C, you'll have 100 people in a year and 200 the next year, whatever. Darcy's been through all those things too. It does not work that way. God has a way of doing everything, and it doesn't go to a man-made plan, and you better be willing to be patient and let God just lead you and guide you along a track. You got to be patient. Kindness. Are you kind to each other? Practice it between each other. And then carry that on around you. Goodness. There should be a goodness. Faithfulness. Are you faithful? Gentleness. Self-control. Yeah. Against such things there's no law. Look at the next verse 24. Those who belong to Jesus Christ have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Look at that. There's another fantastic thing about righteousness, right? To crucify the sinful nature, put it to the side. You battle it so often and so continuously that you overcome. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Living our lives with the Spirit leading us. Literally, every decision you need to make, pray and ask God, the Spirit of God, to give you clarity and a sense of peace about which way you should go. Living and walking by the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. I love the way Paul, particularly in Galatians, does that. He says, but watch out. Just be careful. Don't think you're great at any point, and whatever you do, don't fight internally about what another person has. Isn't that great? He knows our human tendencies. You got to move on to the teaching about righteousness. How are you doing in that area? Have you been putting on those fruits of the Spirit? Have you been striving? The one that for sure I was missing when I was young in my ministry was patience. I still have a ways to go. We were on our way to church here, and I wanted to get here. I was a little bit behind what I wanted to do to be on time. One of the things I'm trying to do is become punctual as much as absolutely possible. So guess what I did to get here on time? Ran two red lights. It's not a good way to instill punctuality, is it? Well, there are hardly any cars around. I'm kind of like that, right? There's nobody here. What the heck? But you got to be careful, right? And I'm the first to admit that was foolish and selfish. Teaching about righteousness. How are you doing in these areas? Are you in the mode where you are working on these particular attributes for your life? These are the meaty ones. You don't have to hold on to form and ritual and all those things. Those are the elementary things. We just looked at those, right? That's where it all starts. Now it's about living your life decision by decision, moment by moment, in step with the Spirit of God. Just aligning your life with Him. That's maturity. You don't need to have every little thing written down, particularly in the Bible. The Spirit of God now guides you for every decision you can make and encourage you to do what's right, what's good. Verse 14 of our text in Hebrews, again, the final point for today. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. You need to finally, and this is very important, consistently and constantly train yourself to distinguish good from evil. How many of you like to watch the news and watch it regularly? Put your hand up. I want to see how many people here. Be honest. Okay. I watch the news, you can ask my wife, like a hawk. Do you know why I watch it like a hawk? How many of you think it's because I like the news? Good. Nobody's duped into thinking I'm just crazy and I like it. I'd be a sadomasochist or something if I did. It's crazy. It's painful. It's ridiculous to see what's going on in the world, isn't it? Look at the Syria situation. What a complete mess that is. A year ago when it started, I couldn't believe that we're sitting back and letting a guy, a dictator, go in and just slaughter his people. Day, we're talking day after day after day. Hundreds, thousands, day after day after day after day after day. What was the justification? Oh, well, if they don't use chemical weapons, we'd leave them alone. Guess what they just did the last couple weeks? And what is everybody doing? Are they going in and, here we go, that's now, we're doing what we said. If they did chemical weapons, we'll go in and do the job. Britain's pulled out. The Prime Minister couldn't even get the okay for him to go in. Canada, I'm ashamed to say, is pulled out, you know. And now, President Obama, what's he doing? He's hedging too, isn't he? He's bringing it before his Congress and saying, you guys choose. Wow. The whole world. Just sitting there letting people slaughter each other, whatever way they feel like it. Not lifting a finger. It's sad. And a lot of you don't watch the news anymore because you see that stuff and you can't take it. But you want to know something? We as believers have to be able to go in and see every situation and distinguish by constant use to determine and distinguish good from evil. The only way you distinguish good from evil is to see and be involved in good and evil. You stay away from it and don't think about it and walk from it, you're not distinguishing or doing anything, are you? And the whole world can get like this and is moving towards it. Just, you know, I'm not going to look at it. If it happens, whatever. As I've said to people in our church, the best thing we've got going for us and the freedoms that we have is 3,000 miles of water. That's the best thing. That's really, I mean, it's creeping in from, you know, people coming in. But if we didn't have 3,000 miles of water, it would be on our doorfront. We would be having to deal with it directly. I'm telling you. But we are supposed to be the ones in Christian maturity at the final phase that constantly train ourselves to distinguish good from evil. So why do we run from it? It's pretty hard to train yourself to distinguish good from evil when you're just running away from it and not dealing with it. Now, we're not becoming really mature as churches. unless we deal with the problems that we have, distinguishing good and evil. First of all, good and evil in our churches. Someone's got a problem with someone else. Don't just let it slide and, you know, hopefully it'll go away. No. Distinguish good from evil. If it needs to be confronted, confront it. Do it. We've had several times in our church, and it's a small church, where we've had key people, and we've had to bring them in and say, you cannot do this. This behavior cannot happen. It is wrong, and we will not let it proliferate in our church. And so a chunk of them hive off. We've had it happen 10 or 12 or 15 times in the last 24 years. Our church is tiny. And I look at my wife and I'm like, are we doing something wrong? Or are we just trying to do something right and everybody's running? But you got to stand up and distinguish good from evil. That is Christian maturity. It's not easy. It's hard work. Being a strong Christian is the hardest thing you can do in this life. It's way harder than your job. I guarantee it. I don't care what your job is. But that's what mature believers... Look at Jesus. What happened to him? Perfection. Truth. Walking on earth. How well did it go for him when he confronted? When he stood up for what was right. And yet we think everything's supposed to be great. Our life will be great if we mature and do what God wants us to do. God will bless you. Oh, that is for sure. But those conflicts, till you leave this life, I'm convinced that God wants us to have conflict so we don't ever, ever become too comfortable here. Pastor Darcy would, I'm sure, agree with me that I am probably the pastor in the city that has the most fun, if you can call it fun. I snowboard, I play beach volleyball. Yesterday I went wakeboarding, went to White Rock and jumped off the pier and doing whatever in the water and go cliff diving. I'm going to go cliff diving later this afternoon with my son out here in Lynn Valley. Yeah. And look at the way I'm preaching to you today. There are going to be blessings. There's lots of blessings. You live in Vancouver, you got a lot of blessings. But you got to be willing to put in the work, work hard when it comes to spiritual growth. And it is going to take hard work. This city is the hardest city, it has been said, in North America, possibly in the world, to reach for Christ. Do you know why? Because there's so much to do. And it's all right here. You don't have to go anywhere. It even beats Hawaii. Hawaii doesn't have snowboarding. I love Hawaii. But I said I won't move there because it doesn't have snowboarding. And God wouldn't call me there, I'm sure. You will be blessed, but you've got to be willing to put in work. And if you want to grow, if you want to be mature, if you want to be like Christ, these are the things that will help us to get away from being spiritually lazy. I hope that God's spoken to you today through His Word. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your truth. We thank You for Your Word. We thank You for admonishing us for being spiritually lazy. May we be vigilant. May we be conscious of possibly being slow to learn because we're sluggish. We've been dulled, perhaps, by the things of life. Whatever the case may be, Lord, help us to sharpen our spiritual sword. Lord, help us, if we need to get back to the elementary truths that we may have strayed from, those things that have been instilled, and help us to move on from them to the teaching of about righteousness, to strive to be right in Your sight and exhibit the godly character that we should. And Father, help us to realize finally that the final part of our solid food is that we constantly train ourselves to distinguish good from evil. Help us not to shy away from situations because it may look evil. But may we be the forerunners, the ones who go in and do the work, whatever the case may be. Father, may we be willing to do what is right, to work hard, to overcome any spiritual laziness. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.